Good morning, everyone. As Chaplain Drum said, I'm Noah, and it is great to be here worshiping with all of you this morning. I am a rising senior at SMC, and I am also an older sister to two younger brothers and two younger sisters. In other words, over the past 17 years, I've shared bedrooms, been copied in everything I did, and I mean everything I did, had the back of my seat kicked on car trips, and always had someone to play with as a kid. But I didn't realize then that the best part of being an older sister would come when my brother reached college age. Whenever we're together, I enjoy our conversations because we both love to learn, but our interests are completely different. I study humanities, mainly religion and English. He studies calculus, physics, and chemistry. Because of this difference, we're always learning new things from each other. But every so often, usually when my brother is talking about some new mathematical theorem, I get hopelessly lost in his description. So I hold up a hand and say something like, "In English, please." Then he has to backpedal and explain the theorem as best he can in layman's terms, using his knowledge of the way that I think. Meanwhile, I ask questions, trying desperately to fit his complex explanation into my very limited understanding of math. It doesn't usually work, but when it does, it feels good to understand something that was confusing just a minute ago. All right, by show of hands, who likes to understand things? Me too. We humans seem to like it when things fit into the way we think about the world. We read the books that we understand and we avoid the ones we don't. We stay out of unfamiliar conversations because we feel like we can't contribute. We dislike being confused. And when we get lost, we try our hardest to find our way again. Wanting to make sense of a world that often doesn't, is part of the human condition. In this context, what do we do with the parables of Jesus? Our gospel text from the lectionary today contains some of Jesus' parables. If you're familiar with the gospels, you know that Jesus' teachings are often in the form of stories called parables. They're popular for Sunday lessons, especially in children's ministry, because they're short passages with concrete images like sheep, bread, and oil lamps. You would think that they'd be easier to understand because they're stories, right? Perhaps, I mean, the Bible includes Jesus' explanations of a few parables here and there, but most of them are unexplained and fairly cryptic if you read them cold. Because of this, there are a lot of ways that biblical scholars interpret parables. I just started studying religion 2 years ago, and I've learned 7 or 8 different approaches already. Scholars have poured years of research into making sense of these stories, and there are a lot of different theories and interpretations out there. All of this engagement, all of these different approaches to the text can be great. They can each provide insight and edification, and they can build our faith. The trouble is, getting too wrapped up in the analytical details can lead to even more confusion. For example, the parable I will read in a moment is the parable of the growing seed. When I prepared this sermon, I read a few essays that interpreted the meaning of the story. One said the farmer is supposed to represent God, and one said the farmer is us, the church. One said, no, the seed is the church. No, the seed is Jesus. No, the seed is his teachings in action. The sickle is thought to be evangelism, or the sickle is the second coming, or the sickle is the enemy. As if the parable wasn't confusing enough on its own. Now there were all these voices saying it meant several different things. Parables are tough to wrap your head around. And yet, as followers of Jesus, we all need to learn from them. But what do we do when we can't fit them with the way we think? Of all things, perhaps the parable can help us. Our scripture lesson for today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Hear the word of the Lord. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, here's what I want you to remember for today. Parables don't fit the kingdom of God into our way of thinking. They help us enter into God's way of thinking. Again, parables don't fit the kingdom of God into our way of thinking. They help us enter into God's way of thinking. My youngest sister is 6 years old, and she loves a children's television show called Bluey, which is about a family of cartoon dogs who go on imaginative playtime adventures. Some of you who are parents and grandparents probably know what I'm talking about. So the other day we were watching an episode together, and in it, one of the characters, Bingo, plays a game with a feather. When she points the feather at something, like a pen or a roll of tape, and says the word heavy, the object is then too heavy to lift. Through the episode, Bingo plays with her feather wand as she runs through the house. And her whole family plays along, pretending to stagger under the weight of the things that she turns heavy. Now, if you were a child playing that game, how fun would it be if someone said, "What are you doing? Why are you pretending to change the forces of gravity with a feather? How is that even possible?" That kind of questioning would help us make sense of what's happening in reality, but it defeats the entire purpose of the game. When we play with a child, we enter into their world, which is vastly different from our own. Our rules don't apply, theirs do. Feathers make things heavy. Stuffed animals can fly. If you are playing with a child and they say you're a unicorn, you're a unicorn. If they say you're a platypus the next minute, they change their mind, you're a platypus. To enter into the game, we have to respond to the invitation by changing our understanding. It's the same with this parable. The farmer plants the seed and walks away. While he's away, the seed grows into a crop of grain. When the farmer sees it, he doesn't know how it happened. But does he need to get out a magnifying lens and 6 science journals and try desperately to figure out how it happened? No. Does he need to give up because he can't understand how it grew? No. What does he do? He grabs his sickle and he harvests the grain. He enters into the reality of the grown crop. He responds to what he's seen. Again, I'm not saying that interpreting parables is a bad thing. I just presented interpretation a few seconds ago. It's a helpful way to get insight out of the text. But perhaps the purpose of Jesus' parables is bigger. Instead of forcing us to split hairs and write arguments over the exact symbolic meaning of the seed, they ask us to come and see what God is bringing into the world. Instead of pushing us to pin down the kingdom of God and fit it into how we understand other kingdoms, they compel us to respond to it coming near. Jesus invites us to engage with his stories and learn to think differently. He invites us to read them over and over and use our imaginations to see them come to life. Instead of saying, "In English, please," we can learn the language of the upside-down kingdom of God, where the last are the first and the sinners are saints. This way of looking at parables takes some wrestling. And for those who follow God, that is kind of part of our job description. Like the farmer who cuts with his sickle, sometimes it takes some time and persistence to cut through all the grain and pull it out of the ground. There's no room to check our brains at the door and let others do all of the thinking for us. We need to examine the text and ourselves. We need to see where our personal rules and biases don't apply and be open to God changing our minds and our hearts. But these changes allow us to experience the simple joy of the stories as well. Think about it. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, told stories while he was here on earth. He wanted the people to learn, but also have fun. He's encouraging us to enter a new world, like when we play with a child. So when we read the parables, we can allow ourselves to enjoy them as well as learn from them. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The parables help us to turn our minds to the way God wants things to be. And when we think along those lines, we start to see the ways that the kingdom is already here and the ways that we can help usher it in. We see great plants that were once tiny seeds, and we become more willing to plant more. We see bread rise as a result of yeast. We see lost sheep get found again. We see crops bear 100 times as much as they should have and fruit trees laden with fruit. And we see God at work. Does it all make perfect sense? No. Can we still enter into the kingdom and see it grow right before our eyes? Absolutely. So this week, I challenge you all to choose a parable of Jesus to study. When you read it, try leaving behind the way that you normally think. Be like the grain farmer and the playmate of a child, and enter into a new way of thinking. Let yourself into the world of the story. Be open to the Spirit renewing your mind through the stories Jesus told, and see what you encounter. It may be something that brings relief or comfort. It may bring conviction. Quite possibly, you will have to wrestle with it. But enter it anyway, for it also brings joy. Then, with renewed minds, grab your sickle. Look for the presence of the kingdom of God in our world and join in. Amen.